ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ॐ
नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय Text 39, Canto 3, Chapter 14. Bhavishyatastava bhadrao
Bhavishyatastava bhadrao
Abhadre
jataradhamao
Lokam sapalam stream chandi
Lokam sapalam stream
Muhur akranda yishyataha Bhavishyatastava bhadrao
Bhavishyatastava bhadrao
Abhadre jataradhamao
Abhadre jataradhamao
Lokansa palang stream chandi Muhur akranda yishyataha Bhavishyataha
will take birth
Tava
your
Abhadrao two contemptuous sons
Abhadre
O unlucky one
Jatara
Adhamao,
born of a condemned womb.
It's a heavy verse. Lokan,
all planets.
Palan, with their rulers.
Teen,
three.
Chandi,
O haughty one.
Muhu,
constantly.
Akrandayishyataha
will cause lamentation. We've said it six times, and here it comes another time. Oh, haughty one, you will have two contemptuous sons born of your condemned womb. Unlucky woman, they will cause constant lamentation to all the three worlds. Purport. Contemptuous sons are born of the condemned womb of their mother. In the Bhagavad Gita 140, it is said, quote, when there is deliberate negligence of the regular principles of religious life, the women as a class become polluted, and as a result, there are unwanted children. This is especially true for boys. So if you're girls, you're okay. If the mother is not good, there cannot be good sons. The learned Kasyapa could foresee the character of the sons who would be born of the condemned womb of Diti. The womb was condemned because of the mother's being too sexually inclined and thus transgressing the laws and injunctions of the scriptures. In a society where such women are predominant, one should not expect good children. And continuing on with this very nice topic. Text number 40. They will kill poor, faultless living entities, torture women, and enrage the great souls. Purport. Demoniac activities are predominant when innocent, faultless living entities are killed, women are tortured, and the great souls engaged in Krishna consciousness are enraged. In a demoniac society, innocent animals are killed to satisfy the tongue, and women are tortured by unnecessary sexual indulgence. When there are women and meat, there must be liquor and sex indulgence. When these are prominent in society, by God's grace, one can expect a change in the social order by the Lord Himself or by His bona fide representative. I'm going to read one more because this is such nectar. This is Kashyapa finishes speaking and the next verse is Diti response. Text 41. At that time, the Lord of the universe, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is the well-wisher of all living entities, will descend and kill them, just as Indra smashes the mountains with his thunderbolts. Purport. As stated in Bhagavad Gita 4:8, the Lord descends as an incarnation to deliver the devotees and kill the miscreants. The Lord of the universe and of everything would appear to kill the sons of Diti because of their offending the devotees of the Lord. There are many agents of the Lord, such as Indra, Chandra, Varuna, Goddess Durga, and Kali, who can chastise any formidable miscreant in the world. The example of mountains being smashed by a thunderbolt is very appropriate. The mountain is considered the most strongly built body within the universe, yet it can be easily smashed by the arrangement of the Supreme Lord. The Supreme Personality of Godhead does not need to descend in order to kill any strongly built body. He comes down just for the sake of his devotees. Everyone is subject to the miseries offered by material nature. But because the activities of miscreants, such as killing innocent people and animals or torturing women, are harmful to everyone and are therefore a source of pain for the devotees, the Lord comes down. He descends only to give relief to his ardent devotees. The killing of the miscreant by the Lord is also the mercy of the Lord towards the miscreant, although apparently the Lord takes the side of the devotee. Since the Lord is absolute, there is no difference between his activities of killing the miscreants and favoring the devotees. End of Kashyapa's response to Aditi's clever words. Chandi, O haughty one. Abhadre, O unlucky one. Kashyapa remains a mystery in all of this. He knew perfectly well what the outcome would be. He's predicting in detail what the outcome will be. Takes two to tango, right? I mean, he's not innocent. Ditsy's getting a real bum rap here for something both of them took part in. But the on one side the fault lies with both of them, and one could make a case for even if Diti had such inappropriate desires, the husband need not capitulate or participate in something like that. So fault goes with him. And here, the other side, because she was the one pushing, and with improper motive and improper consciousness at an improper time, knowing exactly what she was doing, interrupting her husband's evening duties of religious prayer and so on. And at least know, they're both bearing the consequence, but she in particular, because she's the one who wanted children, as Diti was, Aditi, her sister, was having children. She was having no children. So her strong desire in an inappropriate manner, in an inappropriate time, and so on and so on, is the cause of an unwanted result. Here, Prabhupada is specifically saying this condemned womb is because of the mother's being too sexually inclined and thus transgressing all the laws and injunctions of the scriptures. So, the language is condemned womb, but, you know, that the capacity of a wife or a potential mother to generate good progeny becomes condemned if those violations are ruling, transgressing laws and injunctions of the scripture, being too sexually inclined. So that produces a unfit receptacle for, or womb for producing good children. So, bad children. And in her case, really bad children. Prabhupada, in his presentation, is referring to the Bhagavad Gita verse from the first chapter, where unwanted children, the neglect of religious principles has an unwanted consequence. Neglect of religious principles results in, according to the first chapter of Bhagavad Gita, women becoming polluted, and the result of women becoming polluted is unwanted children. And the unwanted children has its consequence, just disturbance within society. So, children are wanted, but good children are wanted. And good children means following the laws and injunctions of the scriptures. And utilizing sexual propensity in a service to the Supreme Lord, and not otherwise. So that's our standard. And the in Diti's case, the horrific consequences are she will have two sons that will kill poor faultless living entities. They will torture women, and they will enrage great souls. Not a good combination. So, to harm innocent, faultless living entities doesn't just mean people. Prabhupada predictably speaks about animal killing, because they're, in relation to the human society at least, innocent. An animal may have its nature. They may be dirty or bark or growl or something that animals do. But they're from the Vedic perspective, or take it broader and say from a scriptural perspective, they're to be protected. And if they behave like an animal because they're in an animal body, we don't blame them for behaving like an animal because they're in an animal body. We may protect from lions and tigers and such things, but not like wipe them out because they're in our way or something. In any case, protection animal husbandry is a part of culture and society. But when things go the other direction, as Prabhupada is pointing out in the purport, uncontrolled sexual desire plus animal slaughter, meat eating, immediately it means then liquor, intoxication, prostitution, unwanted children, terrible situation in society. So far better going the other direction. And Ditti didn't do all of the things that are identified that are very bad, but because of her grievous mistake, then these unwanted consequences are that she would have children that would do all those bad things. Specifically boys. Then the third verse is, the Lord will come and destroy them. Although they became very, very, very powerful, extremely powerful. They're not, practically speaking, invincible even for the demigods, but the Supreme Personality of Godhead will personally come and destroy these two terrible demoniac personalities. So the metaphor is used, a thunderbolt smashing a mountain. I've never seen a picture of a thunderbolt smashing a mountain, but it must happen. When thunderbolts strike, and if thunderbolt strikes a mountain, then it'll smash the mountain. And as strong and powerful as a mountain may be, the powerful thunderbolt can smash the mountain. And as strong as and powerful as a demoniac person may be, they can certainly be destroyed by the personality of Godhead. Then Prabhupada makes, again, a standard presentation. Krishna doesn't need to personally come and destroy demons. In fact, he doesn't. Lord Vishnu comes, but the Supreme Lord will appear instead to give solace to his devotees and give pleasure to the devotees. Through his appearance, these other things are accomplished. But there's this mysterious presentation in Bhagavad Gita, when Krishna describes, for example, his creation of the Varnashram system, and the whole, all of that information that precedes, the living entities take their birth, he sends forth generations of men and demigods, and with them acts of sacrifice, and describes the process of acts of sacrifice and the system of Varnashram, or at least Chatur Varnam Maya Shrishtam. But after describing all those things that he does, he turns around and says, but behold, I'm the non-doer. So, like this, the Supreme Lord will appear and kill the demons, but he's the non-doer. But what he is doing directly, he's doing through the agency of his potencies, but directly with the devotee, he's reciprocating and extending himself in a very personal way. And that's the main feature of the Lord's appearances in this world. Because through whatever agency he wishes, he can destroy whoever he wishes. And they may think themselves invincible, but they're not. So the misfortune is counteracted by good fortune. Or as we heard the other day, that in this age of Kali, that the proper following of standards for producing good children is not prevalent in this age of Kali. Fortunately, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appears and delivers the chanting of the holy name so that even those who are unfortunate can be made fortunate. And that's part of our service, is to assist Lord Chaitanya. Who are we? Little insignificant specks of nothing. But connected with the mission of Lord Chaitanya, then we can be instruments in Lord Chaitanya's mission. And those who are unfortunate, by Lord Chaitanya's mercy, can be made fortunate. Very memorable lecture Prabhupada gave in our Henry Street Temple in Brooklyn. It was toward the middle of a lecture, and Prabhupada started speaking about Bhakti Siddhanta and his Prabhupada's own disqualification. He was describing it. I was in some dark corner of the universe, and my spiritual master found me. And somehow he has made me fortunate. And a pause, and he was observably emotional. And he then gave me the instruction to come to the English-speaking parts of the world, and I have come, and I have made you all fortunate. And now I'm requesting you. You go forward and make others fortunate. Jai Prabhupada. So it's, you know, who are we? Just little insignificant nothings. Next to nothing. And by being given some mercy and somehow receiving some of it, there's some service. If we think we're going to go out and make people fortunate, that's our foolishness. But carrying the order of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu through disciplic succession, then we're instruments somehow by some mercy. So back to the storyline. Diti's just getting some really bad news. She had these, like, you know, hopes, and her hopes are getting smashed. She's not it's not that she's a bad person, but she lost control, and there's consequences, or something like that. To be continued. Stay tuned for Diti's reply to Kashyapa's strong words. Any questions or comments? Yes?
Being Kashyapa was a great sage, qualified sage, and more knowledgeable and everything. It looks like with all this Bhagavad class, like he didn't establish prescribed standard rules and regulations for his family to carry on, because he was...
No, he did. He did establish them. She transgressed them. That's one of the things that he said earlier. He established standards, and she transgressed them.
Because with Aditi, he just prayed to Lord Vishnu, Tibet Varna. With Didi, he prayed to Lord Shiva. Like, he was doing whatever she desired. And he was meditating on Brahma Jyoti, so it was like...
Be careful. Don't get too, like, rambunctious here. He's not an ordinary personality. Don't think like that. He's just like, you know, a cream puff. This wife said this, and that wife said that, so he did this, and he did that, and he's just like this zombie, or henpecked husband. It's not easy to understand his position on the other side, but be careful entering too enthusiastically into it, like assessing Kashyapa is like this. Be very careful. Anything else? Yeah.
Usually when when we hear about rishis and munis, we have I have a picture that they are
up there.
No, yeah, but also like the sannyasis. But we hear so many rishis and munis who are Vajradas.
Sure. Why not? Vyasadeva. Why not? Become a rishi. Why not? Those who follow properly, they become elevated, whether they're in this ashram, that ashram. And those who don't follow properly, whether they're in this ashram or that ashram, they have a problem. Yes?
And this may be a misconception I had, but my thought was that when we, what's more important is the overall sort of broad view of consciousness of the personality rather than the exact, the consciousness at the time of conception. In this case, it's seeming like, you know, he's not so much a bad person, it's just at this point of time she was uncontrolled and it led to such a great consequence. So, do I have the wrong misconception? I have the wrong conception?
Doesn't sound like it. Sounds like your conception fits the circumstance. Her consciousness was bad, and so the conception had a bad result.
In general, her consciousness was bad?
No, at that moment of conception.
So that's the most important, rather than the broad view.
How are you going to isolate the two? I'll be good, but generally I'm bad. It's like, you know, at the time of death, I'll remember Krishna. During my life, I can do whatever I want to do. But I'm the kind of person, when I fix my, I'll just think of Krishna. At the time of death. That's not very likely. More likely is the general, strongly influences a particular moment. We don't hear too much about what Diti is like the rest of the time. We do hear Kashyapa speaking about what was her condition in pressing for conception at an improper time, etc., etc. Anything else? Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.